Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Our first topic to discuss tonight is Shafa'a, intercession. And as you know, as we discussed last week, there was a concept of Shafa'a among the Arabs of that day, which was widespread among Jews and Christians as well. And that is just by offering something to more powerful forces of this nature, we could buy our salvation. Or even just by offering things to prophets of God, or offering things to God in the way we offer them to the idol, God is going to accept that as an intercession. Now, this type of intercession is very explicitly denied and opposed in the Quran, as we saw in this verse last week at the end of our last session. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَنْ نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا شَفَاعَةٌ. No intercession will be accepted on that day. Now, there are many verses that speak of this fact, that this type of shafa'ah that you think, this type of intercession that you might aspire for and imagine, is not available on that day. Now, this verse in Surah An'am, وَذَرَ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَعِبًا وَلَهْوًا. This is, of course, something which talks about religious people. People who have a religion, who have a faith in God, but they have taken their religion as play and diversion. Leave alone those who take the religion for play and diversion, and whom the life of this world has deceived. وَقَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. We know many people who have faith, who call themselves Muslims, but they are more inclined towards the world than to the Akhirah. And then they are thinking about a sort of intercession and shafa'ah going between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this verse says that you remind them, admonish them with this Quran, that lest any soul should perish because of what it has earned. ذَكَّرْ بِهِ أَنْ تُبْسَلَ نَفْسُمْ بِمَا كَتَبَتْ. And tell them and warn them. Again, remind them that he shall not have any guardian besides Allah, nor any intercessor. So, again, it says that intercession itself comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is no shafi besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that even things that would intercede, they come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very important concept. We'll talk about this. Even the intercession in which we believe is something that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not something going from down upwards. It comes from Allah downwards, and it comes through some people to cover those who are qualified to enter into that shafa'ah and into that mercy. Now, those shafa'a or intercessors, those who would be intercessors who were believed by the kuffar, Allah says, on that day you come, you would not see any of those shafa'a, any of those who should have interceded for you. Certainly you have come to us alone, just as we created you the first time, and left behind whatever we have bestowed on you. We do not see your intercessors with you. وَمَا نَرَى مَعَكُمْ شُفَعَاءَكُمْ الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّهُمْ فِيكُمْ شُرَكَاءَ. Those whom you claim to be our partners in deciding your faith. Certainly all links between you have been cut, and what you used to claim has forsaken you. You remember we said even the means that we use in this world, they are shufa'a of us to the power of Allah, to what to what we want to do, what we intend to do. And therefore, even those links are all cut. When we go there, there is no shakli there before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of resurrection, this is about Fir'aun. He will lead his people and conduct them into fire, an evil goal for the incoming. Now, usually people in Egypt thought that Fir'aun and people like him, they were shufa'a, they were rabb, and these arbab would intercede between them and between the creator of the world. And when Fir'aun said, "Ana rabbukum al-a'la," I am your superior lord, your highest lord, he didn't mean that he is God, the creator of this world. He meant that he is one of those who have some control over this world, and they, people thought that Fir'aun would intercede for them on the day of judgment. So here the Quran says, on that day of resurrection, he will lead his people and conduct them into fire. If he would intercede for anything, he would intercede for his people to take them to fire of hell. Now, these verses are all in the same vein. You just go through them, please. One other verse that is interesting to mention: "فَمَا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا قِبَلَكَ مُحْتَعِينَ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ عَزِينَ." What is the matter with the faithless that they scramble towards you from the left and the right in batches? Does each man among them hope to enter the garden of bliss? Never indeed we created them from what they know. This is a picture of the day of judgment when prophets is given the position of Shafa'a. And then the kuffar who knew him at their own time, they try to rush towards him so that he might intercede for them and take them to paradise. His uncles who rejected him, like Abu Lahab, his nephews who rejected him, his cousins who rejected him, these kuffar of that time. Allah says, I see these people on the day of judgment that rush towards you so that you would take them into Jannatul Na'im. فَمَا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا قِبَلَكَ مُحْتَعِينَ. What is the matter with the faithless that scramble towards you from the left and right in batches? And this shows on that day everyone will see that Prophet is of some influence, and they want to get that influence. However, the verse again tells us if that influence doesn't come from the Prophet, it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Prophet. It's not the Prophet who can choose who he wants to intercede. It is Allah who picks and chooses anyone who should be entered into that circle of Shafa'a of the Prophet, peace be on him. And for those people who are faithless, who are not qualified for that Shafa'a, of course no Shafa'a would benefit them. As we have here, فَمَا تَنْفَأُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِئِينَ. The intercession of the intercessors will not avail them. Now, these verses have led some people astray to think that there is no Shafa'a on the Day of Judgment at all. While, of course, we have other verses that specify, qualify these more general verses, saying that, yes, there is some Shafa'a on that day. Although that Shafa'a comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however, the type of that Shafa'a is different from the Shafa'a that you think, the intercession that you think. Now, those verses that talk about intercession being accepted. Now, these verses, do not think that these verses are opposing the other verses. They are qualifying them. They are stipulating some exceptions for those very general verses that we had about no intercession being accepted. Now, these verses, of course, we have different batches of them. لا يملكون الشفاعة إلا من اتخذ عند الرحمن أحدا. No one will have the power to intercede except for him who has taken a covenant with the All Beneficent. لا يملكون الشفاعة إلا من اتخذ عند الرحمن أحدا. Now, these talks about those who qualify not to be interceded for, those who qualify to intercede. They should have a covenant with Allah. That covenant is what covenant? What type of covenant do you think this is? Anyone who has an ahd with Allah, a pledge, a covenant with Allah. And if anyone has that covenant, then they will be qualified to intercede for others. They own shafa'ah. Here it says they do not own or possess any shafa'ah, any power to do shafa'ah. La yamlikun means they do not possess any shafa'ah except a group of people who own it, who possess it. Who possess it. Yes.
I don't know if it's a translation. It says those who have taken a covenant. Should it be more appropriate those who have been given a covenant? Maybe more easier. Is there a difference in shafa'ah? To me, you know, it would make more sense that Allah would give them the covenant to intercede on, you know, with the authority from Allah to intercede. But the way it is, I don't know, it's just a translation.
Yeah? No, attaqada means they have taken a covenant.
But that means they have initiated the covenant.
Yeah, they have initiated the covenant.
How does that come about?
Yeah, this is my question. How does that come about?
Okay.
Yeah.
By the action.
By direction and
following the Sharia,
but of course all of us follow the Sharia, but none of us have that covenant, have taken that covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
To that degree.
Yeah. Yes?
Does it mean that when you are in the state of Adam Azhar, you all had the opportunity to take that covenant, but you didn't?
In that Alam Uzar, everyone has taken the covenant. So, we have about the prophets that they have had a separate type of covenant, which is different from what was in Alam Uzar, of course. There is mention of it in the Quran. I will talk about that. Yes, please.
Yes, but if we talk about Shafa'ah on the day of Qiyamah, because in this world people have Shafa'ah. I mean, a mother prays for her child. That's Shafa'ah.
No, this talks about the Day of Judgment. The context of these verses in Surah Taha is about Day of Judgment. That they would not own Shafa'ah. We know that, of course, there are different levels of Shafa'ah. I mean, if you go to Rawayat, we know that, for example, even a very faithful person of a family might intercede for other members of that family. We have this hadith about Uwais. We discussed about Uwais in Uwais Qarani in our mysticism class, that he would own Shafa'ah and he would intercede for people to the number of people whose number are as much as the number of the hairs of all goats of Rabi'ah and Mudhar, and these were very famous for having very many, many goats, and that would count to several million, certainly, even several billion people probably. Now, that he was not a prophet, of course, but we have this hadith that he had that type of shafa'ah. He owned it due to his action, as we said. Now, the covenant, of course, had degrees. We have in the Quran that we took a very serious mithaq and ghaliza from the Prophet. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِثَاقَهُمْ. When the Prophet took a pledge from Nabiyeen, وَمِنْكَ وَمِنْ نُوحٍ, from you, from all the Prophets, and specifically from you, from Nuh, وَمِنْكَ وَمِنْ نُوحٍ وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَإِيسَى ابْنِ مَرْيَمَ وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. you took a very severe pledge from me. And this covenant, of course, has two sides. Allah takes the pledge. They give that pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the sense that they never commit sin. This is the covenant. That they never commit sin. So anyone who is immaculate would own this shafa'ah. According to the verses of the Quran, because they are very general. They are not. They do not speak specifically about one person or two person or a few people. It says anyone who has taken that covenant, who has received and accepted that covenant of not committing sin, and of course spreading the faith, then they would own shafa'ah. And it speaks of a very beautiful fact, and that is whoever is a guide in this world, and someone who guides us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would own that shafa'ah in the other day, and would be our guide to paradise. You can put it in that way, that we need someone here to teach us how to worship God, how to get closer to God. And when we go to the other world, we need someone to help our souls to find its way to paradise. And this is the meaning of intercession. And anyone who has followed those guides in this world is qualified to enter into the realm of their shafa'ah. In fact, their shafa'ah, what they possess, is a very strong and powerful soul that would carry with them other souls, weaker souls, to paradise. And it's exactly like this world. When they come with those strong souls, with powerful, charismatic, effective souls, they speak of God, they attract people. Isn't it? Prophet has spoken of God, and when after 1400 years we recite the verses of the Quran, we cry, our hearts become soft, we are attracted towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the power of that soul. And on the day of judgment, if both has worked together, the soul of the Prophet has influenced our soul in this world and has attracted us, in that world it would also attract us and take us to paradise. And this is the meaning of shafa'ah. That's the covenant that they have taken. And anyone following that, those people with strength and severity, with seriously, they would have a level of that shafa'ah as well. They can attract other people. For example, suppose there is a very sincere preacher preaching and attracting many souls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that preacher can attract many people with him to take them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day, and that's the intercession, that's the shafa'ah. And of course, that very sincere preacher himself is in need of the shafa'ah of higher people. And all of them are in need of the shafa'ah of one very, very big personality, and that's the Prophet. And this is what Surah Isra says, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَحَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ. Wake up during the night, this is something additional for you. أَسَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَغَامًا مَحْمُودًا. Hopefully your God will raise you to a praise and acclaimed position. And that acclaimed position is a position when on the Day of Judgment everyone looks and the Prophet would see him in a position that everyone is in need. And it's another side of that shahada of which we spoke about, that there are different shuhada who witness our actions, and then they can become shafa'ah for us. However, all of them are witnessed upon by the Prophet. وَإِذْ بَعَثْنَا من كل أمة شهيدا عليهم من أنفسهم. From every nation we had one shaheed, one witness over them. وجئنا بك على هؤلاء الشهيدة. And you are a witness over all of them. He is the ultimate Shafi, the Prophet. He is the ultimate Shafi. It doesn't work like we think in this world. For example, we go to the Prophet, we say, oh Prophet, please help me, I have done something wrong. Can you intercede with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the Prophet goes to Allah and says, look, this is my cousin, for example, or this, I like that person, for example. Could you please excuse him? And God says, okay, because you have come, I feel embarrassed, so okay, let him go. No, it doesn't work that way, of course. It's a systematic, it's an automatic type of process which takes people with it. Yes.
How do you explain the verse that says, when they've done wrong to their own selves, then come to the Prophet, and the Prophet will ask for him for them?
Yeah.
Then Allah will be.
It's exactly something like Shafa'ah, isn't it? It's the soul of the Prophet that could make these sinful souls to be retrieved. However, there are two things, you see. He says, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ جَاءُوكَ. First of all, they have to come to you. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا. What is it? جَاءُوكَ. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. They themselves ask forgiveness. وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ. And the Prophet will ask forgiveness for them. So you see, first the initiation is from the person itself. And then it's the help of the Prophet who comes and will take it. It's just like us making praying for each other, for example. And of course, the closer someone is to God, the more hope is there that the dua is accepted. Of course, the dua of the Prophet, the istighfar of the Prophet, is going to help. In this world and in the next world, it appeared itself, it showed itself in the form of shafa'ah. However, if there is nothing from the other side, Prophet cannot help. As we had about Munafiqeen in Surah Tawbah, that استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم. You ask forgiveness for them, or you don't ask forgiveness for them. إن تستغفر لهم سبعين مرة لن يغفر الله لهم. Even if you ask forgiveness 70 times for them, it means great number, Allah is not going to forgive them. It means now you have no power. You cannot do anything because there is no initiation from the other side. If there is initiation from that side, the Prophet can help. And it's exactly the same in the other world. If there has been something from this side, then we qualify to go into that shafa'ah of the Prophet. Does this answer the address to your question, or there was something else? You don't
know. I thought that even what you said now is that you have to go to the Prophet, and then you were saying it's not like the Prophet goes then to Allah and says, can you ask forgiveness for him because, you know, he's good to me, but isn't that still happening?
No, I was talking about the other world. In the other world, it doesn't happen like that, you see. It's a systematic type of process. It's a systematic because whoever has. Well, my view is, of course, I'm very hopeful to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My view is that anyone who has mentioned the name of Prophet with respect, this is going to be saved. Well, it sounds something like Christian, isn't it? Anyone saying Jesus will be saved, isn't it? But the Quran says, يَوْمَ لَا يُخْزِ اللَّهُ النَّبِيِّ. On that day, Allah is not going to humiliate the Prophet. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ. And whoever has believed with him, has put faith in Allah with him, يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ. A light would go ahead of them. And Allah does not humiliate the Prophet, meaning that anyone who has some sort of attachment to the Prophet, spiritual attachment, is going to be saved. It's not a type of individual one by one asking of Prophet about these people. No, automatically they will be saved and go move upward.
So it's an indirect We won't directly get
shafa
from the Prophet. It is systematic.
Well, that's direct, isn't it? Systematically is direct.
Isn't that indirect? Because you're going through other
shafa.
You're
not
going directly to the Prophet. Yes, it
is so, but still you could call it direct. It's just like in this world, whatever Allah does, it comes through several means, but it is directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in every particle, there is that power of Allah, that if it doesn't work, the means wouldn't work. And that shafa is the same thing. In every individual, that light of Prophet comes and would take that person and anyone who is with that person, who is under his shafa, so to speak. Yes.
Can I give you this example? You can tell me this is the correct understanding. If you have a sin that you wish to overcome, and let's say now, 1400 years after the Prophet, we talk to the Prophet and say, "Oh Prophet, if you help us with this, we will surely change ourselves." And the very fact that we have this respect for the Prophet makes us change ourselves. And the more respect for him we have, the more easy it is for us to change ourselves. Is that not the shafa?
It is not called shafa in this world. It will be somehow transformed into shafa in the next world. It is spiritual help, of course. It is something that it's like, for example, people going to Imam Reza and seeking shafa, seeking curing their ailments, for example. And it happens. You see, it comes. The grace of God comes to that soul, to these people. And in the same way, you might ask for your sins to be healed, your soul to be healed, and it will happen. It's of course a very, very complicated thing. You really cannot analyze it in full. And it's wasila as well. Yes, it's a wasila as well. However, as I said, it's very, very complicated. Something that unless there is that complete connection of the soul, it couldn't happen. It couldn't happen. I saw a film last week. Recently, someone brought it for me from Iran. And I was really amazed how the director could have put very complicated spiritual concepts into a film. It was very beautiful. But I'm not going to tell you what the story was, because I'm sure you are going to see that film. It's called Yektekenan, A Piece of Bread. And it's about how people can reach or can make contact with the Divine, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it shows people rushing towards manifest signs of religion and manifest signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Allah, I mean the religion of God. And on the other side, someone searching inside, and the whole lesson of the film is that unless you see yourself as no one, you cannot see God. And unless there is a piece of Arabic, but the story is very nice. And how this works inside human being is very complicated. How it works, you should not see anyone. Then when you don't see anyone, you see everything. You see God. قُضُوا أَبْصَارَكُمْ تَرَوْنَ الْعَجَائِبِ Cast down your eyes to this world, you see the wonder of this world. Of course, unless you can do it. The process is very complicated. We just have to say we don't know. Just we are analyzing a little bit how this process happens. I just wanted to say it's not like, for example, a nepotistic type of process, or because you are from my religion, you are from my party, you are from my family, I'm going to ask God to help you. No, it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen at all in that way. So here it says, لَا يَمْلِكُونَ الشَّفَاءَ إِلَّا مَنْ اتَّخَذَ عِنْدَ الرَّحْمَنَ أَهْدًا. Now, this is explained in other verses, what this ahd is. يَوْمَئِذٍ لَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاءَ. On that day, no intercession would avail. Intercession would not avail that they accept from him. Now, this is more explicit now. Whom the all beneficent allows and approves of his word. Now, approve of his word, what does it mean? That وَرَضِيَ لَهُ قَوْلًا, whatever he says, Allah approves and is pleased with what they say. What does that mean? It means they speak the utter truth, isn't it? And how someone could speak the utter truth before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It means they are immaculate. It means they never have sinned. It means that they have seen the truth and they can speak the truth. You know that even when we go to the other world, we don't know what's the reality of things, what's the truth, what's the false, what's the depth of things. We don't know it. There are some people who know it, as we have in the Quran in many places. قَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ وَالْإِيمَانِ. On that day, people ask each other, what's happening? How much, how long did we stay? And then قَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ وَالْإِيمَانِ. Those who are given, we will discuss this when we discuss Araf shortly, but those who have given knowledge and faith, they will speak on that day. No one can speak on that day إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَانِ وَقَالَ ثَوَابًا أَذْيَوْ لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ. No one can speak on that day إِلَّا مَنْ أَذْنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنِ, unless anyone to whom permission is issued by Ar-Rahman. وَقَالَ ثَوَابًا, and what they say is the truth. So, if anyone is going to speak on behalf of anyone else and ask them to be brought closer to God or to be taken to Pilate, they have to be the people who speak utterly. As we have in the Quran, when Allah gives permission to Isa to speak. We had this verse previously, that إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَٰهَيْنِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Did you tell the people to worship you and your mother as two gods beside Allah? قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِن كُنْتُ قُلْتُهُ فَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ. If I had I said it, you would have known it. I have not said anything but the truth, what you told me. And then at the end, he is permitted to utter, to say his statement of shafa'ah. إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. If you punish them, they are your slaves. They can't do anything, they have no power. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And if you forgive them, of course you are mighty, you are wise. And forgiving would not diminish your might and your wisdom. So these are the people to whom permission would be issued to speak. And here it says, these are the people who do the shafa'ah actually. So وَيَوْمَئِذٍ لَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةُ إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنِ وَرَضِيَ لَهُ قَوْلًا. Intercession will not avail that they accept from him whom the all beneficent allows and approves of his word. Yes, someone wants to say something? وَلَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ. Intercession is of no avail with him except for those whom he permits. حَتَّى إِذَا فُزَّ عَنْ قُلُوبِهِمْ قَالُوا مَاذَا قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ. This is of course not related to our discussion of Shafa'ah. This is related to when the angels receive the order of Allah from one another and what would intercede between other angels and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in giving the order. So I don't want to enter into discussion about this verse, which is completely different from our discussion. Now, another very interesting thing, which tells us anyone who's shaheed in this world, as the Quran talks about shuhada, is a shafi' in the other world. Now, the verse says that, وَلَا يَمْلِكُ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ الشَّفَاعَةِ إلا من شهد بالحق وهم يعلمون. Those whom they invoke besides him have no power of intercession except those who are witness to the truth. So these are the witnesses of God, shuhada, and who know for whom to intercede. Well, this is what the translator has added according to different interpretations of وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ, and it might mean وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ the truth from falsehood, the reality of things, and therefore they can intercede. This is the verse I spoke about, no one can speak unless those who say the truth. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفَّى, on the day when the spirit and the angels stand in an array, none shall speak except whom the All Beneficent permits, and who say what is right, because that is the day of truth. ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقُ, that is the day of truth. So let anyone who wishes take resort with his Lord. فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَعَبَ. This is a very summarized discussion about Shafa'ah. As I said, it's a very complicated issue, how it happens, why it happens. But one type of Shafa'ah that we understand, which is a type of relationship which is not connected to servant-lord relationship, the relationship of human beings with idols, with other people, with the hope of Shafa'ah. This is not going to work, certainly. Then there is the Shafa'ah of some people of higher status, higher personality, which would intercede for people of lower status, and they would take them to paradise. This is, I think, this would summarize the whole issue of Shafa'ah. Is there any question about that?
Good question. Can you link Shafa'ah to this world? There's nothing like Shafa'ah in this world. It's just right into the afterlife.
As I said, Shafa'ah has two meanings. One meaning, which is also used in Quran, is the means which work as mediators between us and our aspiration, what we want to. You see, when Allah wants to create something, say Allah wants to create a computer, okay, this because this is something that he can do, he doesn't go through means, saying that, okay, I need such and such issues, I need electricity, I need silicons, I need such and such, and then put them together, make a computer. No, he doesn't do it like that. He just creates it without any means. Okay? What we have to do, we have to use means, our powers, things from outside. And why we cannot, like God, immediately as we think that we want something like this, we say, be, and it is. Of course, when we go to paradise, inshallah, it will be like that. We will become God-like. We will become examples of God. You want to make a computer, you say, computer. It is there, okay. Something like that. إِنَّمَا عَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَغُولَ لَهُ كُنْ. It says, be, computer, okay, the computer is there. Now, we can't do it. We have to use other means. However, although it takes some time, but eventually we reach what we want. We have used mediations of things. And these are shufa'ah between us. Now, certainly Allah has created this. Although we have made it, Allah has created this. We have invoked the power of God to create this for us. However, we couldn't do it without Shafi'. We had to use Shafi'. And this is why Allah says, there's no Shafi'i but Him, because all these things that you use as well is from Him and with His power. And therefore, this concept of Shafa'ah is always there. Unless on the Day of Judgment Allah says, even this would go away. We wouldn't see these things. And that's why in paradise you don't use means, isn't it? You just, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. Whatever they want is just there for them. You just say, for example, you are living in a palace made out of gold, then you say, well, I don't like this. Emerald! It will become emerald. You see, he just wants it. Because Allah says, Lahu ma'a shaa. He just wants something and he will be there. If you don't want it in paradise, tell me, would it happen? No, it wouldn't happen. It depends on your will. And therefore, your will is instrumental there. However, as soon as you want it, you don't need to use shafa'a. You just use the power of Allah directly and create it. And therefore, there is no shafi' there in that sense. If we use shafi' in this sense, of course, there are shafa'a in this world. Of course, man zalladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi'idhnih. Who can intercede with things for people unless after his permission? And all these means work after his permission. But the shafa'a that we are talking about, taking people to paradise, is the depth of what we call guidance in this world. This guidance is will transform into shafa'a in the next. And so the criteria is very simple. Whoever has followed the guidance will be included in shafa'a. Whoever has not followed the guidance will not be included in shafa'a. And those who have been included, those who have followed the shafa'a, the guidance with commitments, with resolve, then they themselves are those who make shafa'a for others as well. So this is how it works. Now, the elevated positions, A'raf. You have heard about A'raf, of course, Surah A'raf, which is after Surah An'am. But tell me, what do you know about A'raf? What is A'raf? Especially the Shias have a specific attention on this issue of A'raf, which is mentioned in the Quran. This is one of the last stages before people separate from each other. People of the hell and people of the paradise. But I want to know what you already know about A'raf. Anyone? Yes?
The barrier between the two. And there'll be people standing there, very high elevated people, who will decide by people's marks where you go.
Yes? Yes, but what about these ideas that it is somewhere? Now, this is one, of course, opinion, that Araf means elevated position. Of course, you should have a wall, or you should have a curtain or something, above which is called Araf. The position above the height of a barrier is called Araf. Now, the Quran says that, okay, there is such a barrier, there is such a wall or curtain or something. At some stage, we know at the earlier stages, there is no barrier between Ahlul Nar and Ahlul Jannah. They all go together, but in different directions. However, at that very end, when they come to the gates of Paradise or to the gates of Hell, then there will be a barrier. And above this barrier, there are some people. And that is called A'raf. However, we have in many rawat that A'raf is a place where you cannot call it hell and you cannot call it paradise. Again, this is true because this is a barrier. And in some rawat we have that this is the place where many people are actually accommodated on the day of judgment. For example, the children of Kuffar who die before they reach maturity. Well, you can't send them to paradise because they are not children of Muslims. Of course, Muslim children, they go to paradise following their parents. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. Their children will be reunited with them. in paradise. However, kuffar would go to hell. Now, we are talking in a very simple language. What about their children? Would they follow their parents? No, certainly. Because they have not, they were not mature when they passed away. And therefore, they couldn't be sent to hell. Could they be sent to paradise? No, because they could not be called Muslims. Because the fate of the religion of a child is would follow the religion of their parents. So you cannot call them Muslim. You cannot call them kafir in a sense to send them to hell. So where you situate them? Somewhere between paradise and hell and the hereafter. What about the people who were not Muslim but were not sinners, were not evil in that sense? Where should they go? Well, they should go to this interim place between hell and paradise, and this is called A'raf. And many other categories of people that you cannot really say they deserve hell. You cannot say that they could be rewarded paradise, so you situate them here, accommodate them here in this barrier between hell and paradise. However, the Quran doesn't actually mention that there is anywhere in between. As specifically, we have many traditions, especially from Sunni chain, that, for example, mad people. Now, what do you think mad people, where should the mad people be accommodated? In hell or in paradise? Well, paradise, we know that is given only to people with intellect, people who could discern between right and wrong and choose. Now, if someone is born mad or is turned mad later on, and cannot distinguish between right and wrong, so there's no reward, no punishment. You can't say, okay, God should reward him because he didn't give him intellect. No, why? He was not tested. He did not go through that process to gain paradise. So where should we place them?
What would be the point of placing people like that on the earth? Because the reason that we're here is to be tested.
Yeah? What would be the point of people like that? I don't know. Yeah. It's very difficult. Just for us to realize what is intellect probably. For others to realize what's the difference. It could have been that way as well. I mean, however, people who are given intellect and use it wrongly are much worse than those who are not given intellect. This is, of course, sad. There was another film I saw the other day. It was very beautiful. You have to see this film. Again, this is from a very famous director. From Iran, and the concept is there is a blind man, and it shows at the beginning the gloomy type of life of this man, and you say at the beginning, why God has not given him money, and he has a child, he has a daughter, and he wants to play with that daughter, he cannot do it, he has a very, very kind wife, caring wife, who had agreed to marry him although he was blind and looking after him. And he's educated. He is a university lecturer. Although he's blind, he has learned braille type of reading and writing and can teach very nicely. And suddenly there comes another calamity, and that is the doctors say that you have a tumor in your head close to your eyes that it should be taken out. Now, the film shows that this man's life seems between him and God. And one of his letters that he writes to God, he says that, God, I can appreciate light more than others. These people who see colors, who see light, they do not appreciate it as I do. Why don't you give me a chance to see the light again? And I give you a pledge that if you give me the opportunity once more, if you trust me, the word you trust me, and you will see how I use my eyes. And well, they want to operate him, they sent him to France, they want to operate him, they say this tumor is not very dangerous, but they find out that there's a chance of grafting something in the eye that the eye would find the eyesight again. And he comes seen by that operation. Well, at the beginning, he appreciates everything. He's very grateful to God, and it's very beautifully made, actually. However, when he comes back, he starts, well, my wife is not very busy. Looking at other women. He now longs for other women and starts not to appreciate the help that his wife was giving him. And he starts to say, well, I didn't have a chance to live before. I want a chance to live now. And he starts to shouting at everyone, I deserve to live now. I deserve everything rather than other people. And he gradually rules the life that he had, which was a very beautiful life. He had a very simple, nice house, and he said, this is a piece of paradise. He used to say with him that this is a piece of paradise, the caring wife, and it started to be a place of hell when he was given the eye. So, you said, why such people are there? We don't know. We really don't know the wisdom behind these issues. But sometimes you can just speculate that maybe this is the wisdom. What goes behind the scenes, we really do not know. We cannot analyze what goes beyond the scenes. However, this is beside our issue. Where should a mad person be placed? In hell or in paradise?
Can Allah not make him famous on the paradise?
Well, what's the use of it? We have to be staying here, not there.
Then he can go to heaven.
No, you can't, because he has not achieved anything with his...
It's not his fault that he was mad.
It's not his fault, but he has not achieved it.
So then who's fault?
No one. It's no one's fault.
Relative to what he has, I mean, relative to what he achieved.
Yeah, but he had a choice. He was the one to not be mad.
He wasn't given a chance.
Yeah, right.
It's his fault.
No, but in Adame Allah, there's so much of him confused. That's why that makes me mad.
Well, why was he so confused there? So he was, you're adding to the problem. You say that his soul was mad right from the beginning. Now, okay, those riwayat say that yes, of course we have somewhere between hell and paradise, which is called Araf. And this is where these mad people will go, like the children of Kuffar, like, for example, people to whom the guidance was not reached. They certainly don't go to hell. Anyone who doesn't have guidance from a prophet wouldn't go to hell. So where should they go? They don't go to paradise, certainly. They go in this interim location between hell and paradise, which is called Araf. However, there might be such a place, we don't know. But that shouldn't be called A'raf. A'raf, which the Quran talks about, is a completely different thing. Now, we have to analyze the verses. Of course, we have a very long, more than a page of verses in the Quran in Surah A'raf that talks about this issue in detail. Now, I don't go through the Arabic because this is very long.
Now, the verse talks about when people have come long way after 50,000 years of traveling towards the Lord. They now come to the gates of paradise. They see the paradise from far away. And the kuffar come to the gates of hell, they see the hell from far away. They don't see the punishment of the hell as yet. The doors are closed yet. They don't see what's inside. And people of paradise, they don't see what's inside paradise yet. The gates are closed. They just have a sight of hell and paradise from far away. And of course, this is the happiest moment for the believers after coming all that long way. Of course, it's not way as a physical way we are talking. It's just without language. After coming all that long way, suddenly they see the sight. They get the sight of paradise. That at last we are arriving there. So, however, they cannot enter paradise if there is a bit of arrogance in their heart, if there is a bit of grudge in their heart, because paradise cannot accept it. Paradise repels grudge, arrogance, evil. Now, the verses says, start by saying that after they get a sight of paradise, نَذَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍ. We will remove whatever rancor there is in their breast, whatever rancor, grudge, arrogance is left. نَذَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍ. وَقَالُوا, and streams will run for them. Now, it's interesting, they haven't entered paradise yet. تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارِ. The rivers are flowing beneath them. Now, they haven't entered paradise yet, so where these rivers come from? Because the verses clearly say they haven't entered paradise yet. They have just got a sight of paradise. Where do these rivers come from? From the paradise. But apparently those rivers which flow from the paradise should go somewhere. We don't know where. These are just the vicinity of the paradise. So these rivers, they now can make sure that they are going to enter paradise. They are seeing the rivers coming out of that paradise. So وَقَالُوا, as soon as they see this, Alhamdulillah الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا, all praise belongs to Allah who guided us to this. As I said, this is the other side of the guidance in this world. Allah has guided us to faith. That would turn, transform, transfigure into another type of guidance, which Allah would guide us to paradise on that day. We would have never been guided had not Allah guided us to this place. Our Lord's apostles had certainly brought the truth. Now, of course, they knew even before that the promises were true. But now you see the paradise by your own eyes. The first glance, the first look that your eyes, the first gaze that your eyes would cast on paradise, of course you say, wow, this is the truth. We are here. This is paradise. And لَقَدْ جَاءَتْ رُسُلُ رَبِّنَا بِالْحَقِّ, our Lord apostles had certainly brought the truth, and the call will be made to them. This is paradise, which you have been given to inherit because of what you used to do. وَنُودُوا أَنْ تَلْكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Now, telkum means, is allusion, is pointing to something which is far away yet. That is the paradise. This is not the right translation. This is the paradise. That is the paradise which you were promised. You have been given to inherit because of what you used to. The inhabitants of paradise will call out to the inmates of the fire. Now,
the inhabitants to be, of course. Ashabul Jannah. Ashabul Jannah means people who belong to paradise, of course. They are not yet inhabitants. The inhabitants to be of paradise. After they look at paradise, they want to see whether the hell is truth or not. Well, they know it's the truth, but they want to see whether people of the hell are seeing the hell as well or not. So they call, وَنَادَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَصْحَابَ النَّارِ. The inhabitants of paradise will call out to the inmates of the fire, we found what our Lord promised us to be true. Did you find what your Lord promised you to be true? Are you seeing hell as well? We are seeing paradise. Are you seeing hell? Of course, they are now very far away from each other. Yes, they would say. Then a caller will announce in their midst, may Allah's curse be on the wrongdoers. Actually telling to the people of paradise that they are going towards the curse and perdition. Those who bar others from the way of Allah and seek to make it crooked and disbelieve in the hereafter, these are the wrongdoers. Now, then, وَبَيْنَهُمَا حِجَابٌ, there will be a veil between them. At that moment, when they come to this point, there will be a veil between them. And on the elevation of that veil will be certain men who recognize each of them by their mark. وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ رِجَالٌ يَعْرِفُونَ كُلًّا بِسِيمَاهُمْ, they know every person by their mark. What mark? Mark of faith or mark of disbelief? They know. They look at all those billions and billions of people who are around now, going to hell or going to paradise. They just cast their gaze on any single person and they know what level of paradise they should go, what level of hell, grade of hell they should reside in. They know everyone by their mark. So, they couldn't be mad people, certainly. I mean, because as we had in some of the world, that Araf is a place where mad people would be accommodated, or children of Kuffar would be accommodated. This is a completely different concept. These men who are on those elevated positions, on the Araf, on those elevations, recognize each of them by their mark. They will call out to the inhabitants of paradise, peace be to you. وَنَادَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَنْ سَلَامٌ أَصْحَابُ الْعَرَافَ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ أَنْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, peace be to you. And this is a reassurance. This is a grace coming from those great souls to these smaller souls who want to go to paradise. They will not have entered it, though they would be eager to do so. So, as I said, it clearly says they haven't entered paradise yet. They are eager to go. They are waiting for the gates to open. And they cannot go, of course, until these people on the elevation would let them. Now, this is where the highest concept of Shafa'a comes in. This is the last degree of Shafa'a, of course. Now, they will call out to the inhabitants of paradise, peace be to you. They will not have entered it, though they would be eager to do so. And when they look, it turns towards the inmates of the fire. Now, these people who are on the elevator, when they turn their head and look at the inmates of the fire, they are on elevation, so they could see both sides, people of paradise and people of hell. When they look at them, they would say, our Lord, do not put us among the wrongdoing lots. Now, why these people should say this? They are on elevated position. They are very high. But as soon as they look at inmates of fire, people who should go to fire, they say, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا مَعَ الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ, do not let us be these ظَالِمِينَ. Why do they say that? Out of humbleness. Because they think that this is something that they would have been in had not got Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had saved them, had poured His grace upon them, they would have been among them as well. So they say, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. And the occupants of the elevations will call out to certain men who they recognize by their mark. They single out certain men of every age. Of course, these people who are on elevated positions, they are not one or two or ten people. There are very many people from all generations, of course, they are there. We say that they are A'imma and the Prophet, but that belongs to our generation. What about previous generations? There were people in those times. In fact, every Prophet and every wasi of the Prophet will be on that elevation, and they will call certain people, the most evil of them, and they will argue with them that you thought there's no God, there's no hereafter, you thought that these people who believe in God, they are the most miserable people, they never reach any prosperity, they never go to Jannah because there's no Jannah. Now, so they call out on certain people, and the occupants of the elevations will call out to certain men whom they recognize by their marks. Your rallying did not avail you, nor what you used to disdain. Are these the ones, pointing to the people of paradise, whom you swore that Allah will not extend them any mercy? Then they give the permission to these people to go to paradise, enter paradise. You shall have no fear, nor shall you grieve. Now, it is at this moment that this permission comes, that the gates of paradise will open, and these people could be rushed inside the paradise. Now, what is the role of these people? Why the gates of paradise would not open before these people would allow or would permit, would issue the order that they should go to paradise, is because of the role that they had in this world. In fact, in this world, they were the people who took everyone to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was with their permission. Just to give an example, it is with Prophet's permission that we marry, and this is not regarded to be fornication and adultery. It is with Prophet's permission that we mention the name of God, although we do not deserve to mention. And this is not regarded to be impoliteness or to be arrogant. It is with Prophet's permission that we do all our worship, and it's not regarded to be a bid'ah. So, as in this world, this was what we were doing. In the next world, of course, that permission comes from those people. These are the shufa'a who act on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, they say, enter paradise, you shall have no fear, nor shall you grieve. Now, the inmates of the fire will call out as soon as the inmates of the fire would know. Yes.
So, who is saying this thing? Enter the people at the elevated place, or
yes.
Are not saying this?
No, no, no. People at the elevated place.
Yes.
They are saying this. And as soon as the people of hell find out that people of paradise have been issued the permission to enter, and now they enter into gardens, rivers, bliss of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would become excited and embarrassed, and they would try to get some help from them. So wanada ashabu nar, the inmates of the fire will call out to the inhabitants of paradise, pour on us some water, because now they know that they are in gardens with rivers, or something of what Allah has provided you. They will say, Allah has indeed forbidden these to the faithless, those who took their religion for diversion and play.
Again, the same concept. الذين اتخذوا دينهم لعبا ولحوا, and whom the life of the world has deceived. So today we will forget them as they forgot the encounter of this day of theirs, and as they used to impugn our signs. Now, these people, who speak on the elevated places, we have in many other verses of the Quran that they will speak on behalf of God to people as well. And they actually put forward the arguments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the people, even in that world. For example, in this verse, warn the people of the day when the punishment will overtake them, whereas the wrongdoers will say, "Our Lord, respite us for a brief while, so that we may respond to your call and follow the apostle." They will be told. Who will tell them? Of course, it's these people. They will be told, "Did you not used to swear earlier that there will be no reverse for you, no coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يُجَادِلُونَ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. Have you not regarded those who dispute the signs of Allah, where they are being led away? Those who deny the book and what we have sent with our apostles, soon they will know when with iron collars around their necks and chains they are dragged into scalding waters and then set aflame in the fire. Then they will be told. Still these people are talking to them. Where are those you used to take as partners besides Allah? Exactly in the same way when, as is mentioned in Surah Araf, أَهَٰؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ أَقْسَمْتُمْ لَا يَنَالُهُمُ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ. Are these whom you swore that Allah is not going to include them in their mercy? Here they tell them, where are those you used to take as partners beside Allah? And they would reply, they have forsaken us, rather we did not invoke anything before. And then the discussion goes, and they actually give them the order that go into the gates of the hell, enter the gates of hell to remain in it forever. And there are some other verses which of course would show this type of conversation going on between people of elevated places and people of hell and people of paradise in different occasions on the day of judgment. Now, this is an interesting one. Whenever you come across this phrase, "they will be told," you just ponder, who will tell them? Who will talk to them on that day? Now here, the day when the faithless are exposed to the fire, they will be told. Actually, they are it's explained for them, why are you put in fire? You have exhausted your good things in the life of the world and enjoyed them. So today, you will be requited with a humiliating punishment for you acting arrogantly in the earth unduly, and because you use transgress. Okay, this subtitle we leave it for next week, inshallah. Any questions? Okay, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I think not next week, in 3 weeks' time, because we have 2 weeks break, and then in 3 weeks' time.